It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's already March 9th and 10th, depending on when you're listening to this. Big shout out to last week's guest, Eileen Laponis, who from the New Hampshire Food Bank. She leads the charge at the New Hampshire Food Bank that distributes tons of foods in New Hampshire, and she was very compelling talking about the fact that one out of nine people in New Hampshire are food insecure, which is surprising given the sort of the wealth of the state. But Eileen does a great job and did a nice job explaining what the New Hampshire Food Bank does. Very important work. For my running friends, if you're listening to this on March 9th, it's too late, but it's the Waterville Valley Winter Wild Race on March 9th. And so many of us will be running up and down Waterville Valley on March 9th. So a big shout out to Brandon, who is the race director of the Winter Wild series that the Northeast Delta Dental is presenting sponsor of. And it's been a great series to date, including a night race at Mount Ascutney. Now, on the theme of sports, with me this weekend, March 9th and 10th, is James Peterson, who is the director of sales and marketing for Seacoast United Sports Club. And you have an interesting background because you grew up in Florida, right? Or was born in Florida?
Correct. Yeah. So I'm a rarity. I was born in Florida. I wasn't someone that migrated down there at some point in their life, like the tried and true snowbird.
So there's actually there are a few people in New Hampshire that are actually born in New Hampshire, and there were a few people in Florida that are actually born in Florida. But you moved to Oxford, England, right, in 2010. So tell us about that experience.
Yeah, so I've played soccer all my life, and I obviously grew up watching soccer over in England since I was a kid, and there was always a part of me that wanted to live there, as crazy as that sounded. So when I was going to school at University of South Florida in Tampa, I was studying business marketing, but I always, you know, it's one of those, I had no clue what I wanted to do in life. I thought I was going to take over my dad's landscaping company. And one of my coaches, funny enough, for soccer, he became chairman for Oxford United Football Club, which is a professional football club in England. And I reached out to him and said, listen, I would love an opportunity to come over there. I don't care if I have to clean boots, clean the changing room, dress up as a mascot. You know, I just want to go over there and live there. And he said, well, I don't really know how we're going to be able to bring you, you know, from a visa standpoint. He said, I think the only way you're going to be able to do it is if you go back to school. So I thought, well, what would I like to study? So that would have been, you know, sports management or something that incorporated sport. So Oxford Brookes is the university there, not as popular as Oxford University, even though my mom tells everyone my son studied in Oxford.
So, very cool. That's what moms do. That's good.
So I was able to get my visa, and then I moved over there in 2010. So I worked at the football club for 3 years. I received another degree at Oxford Brookes in sport and coach studies. And it was everything I would have hoped that it would have been and more.
Great. So let's talk about Seacoast United Sports Club. All my kids played soccer, travel soccer, and so on and so forth. So in my sort of focus, I always thought of Seacoast United with a sort of a soccer focus. But obviously, you have other sports that you're involved with, baseball, softball, field hockey, and lacrosse. So tell us, and you have sort of a theme of opportunity. So tell us all the things that Seacoast United is involved in.
Absolutely. So yeah, you hit the nail on the head. We provide soccer, baseball, softball, field hockey, and lacrosse. We were founded as a soccer club. That was in 1992. So a gentleman by the name of Paul Willis. He's from Newcastle, England, and he attended school at West Virginia Wesleyan College of all places on a soccer scholarship, and he went into admissions. And he was assigned the New England area. So he would come up here, obviously, and frequent the area to reach out to prospective students and just fell in love with the area. And at that time, there, you know, it wasn't really a soccer hotbed, so to speak, for obvious reasons, namely the climate. So he just thought, you know, there was an opportunity here. So him and several other people helped essentially start the club in 1992. In 1997, they built their first facility in Hampton, so that's our flagship facility. And then in 2006, we built our outdoor complex in Epping, New Hampshire, and now it's just kind of it's blossomed into what it is today.
So any parent who's had a daughter or son play travel soccer probably has played
Correct.
Against Seacoast and in their facilities. So I always say, you know, and I have soccer coaches on, like, you know, Rob Grable and George Pinkham, and George's brother Dave Pinkham. It is interesting that while clearly from a climate perspective and a population perspective, you wouldn't necessarily think of New Hampshire as a soccer hotbed. Actually, in terms of like various regional and national ODP tournaments and so forth, New Hampshire does disproportionately well, I think, for the size of the state that we are. What do you think? That's just my opinion.
Yeah. So obviously, you think about all the dynamics that go into that. We have a very small population, about 1 million people in the state. We have one of the oldest demographics in the country. Obviously, 6 months out of the year, you're skiing and ice skating as opposed to actually playing, as opposed to like me from Florida, where 365 days out of the year I'm out in the sun. So that was always something that that's kind of, you know, held back any opportunities, so to speak. But Paul, you know, he's truly a visionary and said, well, surely if these kids have an environment where they can train and play and work with, you know, professional coaches, they have every right to compete with the kids from California, Texas, et cetera. And I mean, to be fair, the proof is in the pudding. This year alone at the MLS draft in January, there was a gentleman by the name of Saeed Haji who was drafted the number 2 pick in the first round. He's from Manchester, New Hampshire, and he played for Seacoast United.
Yeah. And there are other stories similar to that. So that's great. Now with branching off to other sports, you currently have about 10,000 athletes in 3 states and 35,000 active members. So if I'm a parent listening to this, do I just go on seacoastunited.com and see what's involved with that? And how does that work?
Correct, yeah. So we obviously, as we grew as a club, our footprint, and again, it was still primarily soccer, and we'd extend to our facilities because we technically now have 11 facilities across 3 states. Those facilities, you know, would play host to other sports, so not just soccer, because obviously right now, you know, we're inundated with rentals and leagues and programs from high schools to organizations. And, you know, we wanted to kind of say, well, what we've done with soccer, surely we can replicate that with other sports. And that's kind of like the model that we did. And, you know, it's purely down to having good people. So our coaches for all 5 sports are the reason why we've been so successful. I don't think there's any 2 ways about that. So that's obviously helped us and allowed us to become into the position that we have. So we essentially have 2 demographics at the club. We have our 5 sports. So that's primarily ages 10 to 18 for soccer, baseball, softball, field hockey, and lacrosse. And we have about 10,000 kids that play across the board. And the other demographic is we have these facilities, which host leagues, programs, rentals, etc. So like my daughter, who's 3, plays in our grassroots program. So we even have a program younger than that, our playtime, which is for 1-year-olds, all the way up to our over 50 men's league. So that's a pretty big catchment. And last year, we had about 35,000 active members. So obviously, any of those people that participate in that, we constitute them as a member. So in a roundabout way, you know, you're looking at about 45,000 people that are involved in the club in some capacity, which is unbelievable.
Yeah, that's definitely impressive. So we're running this on March 9th, which is your birthday. Happy birthday. But
thank you.
But earlier in February, you actually had an outdoor tournament. So tell us how in New Hampshire you can have soccer tournaments in February outside. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so in March, this is the 13th consecutive year where we've ran outdoor soccer tournaments. It's affectionately known as March Madness.
So I love it.
So we, for 4 consecutive weekends, we run soccer tournaments. The 2 first ones, which this is the second weekend, is our college showcases. The 3rd and 4th weekends are for our under 10s and under 14s, boys and girls, like a spring invitational. And then to be fair, at the end of the month, we're hosting our first ever lacrosse jamboree. our the bulk of the matches take place in Epping, so we have turf fields out there. And I'd be lying if I if any of us took credit. It's one person. His name's Tim Farrell. He's our facility person, and he pretty much lives out in Epping that whole month. As soon as we get a snowfall, he's out there clearing it, obviously to keep it from hardening and turning into ice, because then once that happens, you've got no chance of playing till May.
So he prides himself on the turf.
So
well.
Nice. He earns his whole salary in that one month pretty much, but he's great. And to be fair, like all of our staff, you know, we have about 60 full-time staff, believe it or not, and It's pretty much all hands on deck when we get a snowstorm and we're out there clearing and things of that extent. So last year in 2018 in March in Epping, we recorded 48 inches of snow. And we didn't cancel one game.
Wow, that's impressive. Now, fast forward to Columbus Day weekend in October. You actually host one of the largest, if not the largest, youth soccer tournament. So how does that work?
So believe it or not, we have an indoor facility right off of Ferry Street. So it is literally a 5-minute walk from here at your guys' studios. Our club here out in the Concord area, that's Seacoast United Express. They primarily use the outdoor fields at NHTI College, so we have a long-going partnership with them. And in October, we've hosted our annual Columbus Day tournament. We technically host two. We host one in Epping, and then we host one here in Concord.
I was going to say, it's a very impressive Northeast Delta Dental's facility, of course, is right across the bridge from NHTI, and it's always great seeing all the activity and spilling over to sometimes our little field at Delta Dental, and it's just great to see. So I congratulate you on that. So the website is seacoastunited.com. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio with James Peterson, who is the Director of Sales and Marketing at Seacoast United Sports Club. And as James explained before commercial break, it's a lot more than soccer. Those of you that have children in their 20s, let's say, maybe like my kids, maybe thinking in terms of Seacoast United just as soccer, but they now have baseball, softball, field hockey, and lacrosse players of all ages and abilities, including stuff for some older folks like me, so which is awesome. So, but I wanted to start this segment with James mentioned Seacoast Express, and again, a lot of parents with kids of my age remember, Concord Express. So, tell us again how that all came together with Seacoast and Concord Express.
Absolutely. So, as the club grew, there were other organizations that were interested in becoming a part of Seacoast United, more so from a operations standpoint. So, every time we speak to a club, it's a gentleman or a woman that is adamant about coaching. They start a club, and they've done so well, and they've become so successful, but they're doing everything else apart from coaching. And obviously, that's their love, and that's what they want to do. So they'll come to us and say, "Listen, I want to coach. That's what I want to do." And now I'm the accountant, I'm the event manager, et cetera. So, can you help us with that?
And I've got to do the paperwork for the not-for-profit status and all that.
Correct.
And all that, the human resource stuff and clearing the coaches and all that.
So it's a pretty daunting task, especially depending on how the size of your club. So that's a pretty similar scenario to what happened with Express. They approached us and said, we wanted to become part of Seacoast United. And we've been working with them for the better part, almost 10 years now. We utilize the NHTI College fields for training, games, the Columbus Day tournament. And then about 4 years ago, because we recognized obviously that there was a lot of opportunity here in Concord for not only soccer, but just sports in general. And there wasn't really an indoor space that was kind of conducive for that. And we went on a fishing expedition, so to speak, and we came across the warehouse there off of Ferry Street, and we went in there and we turfed it, we painted it, we netted it, and that's obviously provided a great home for the soccer club. And as of last year, we now have a baseball club and a field hockey club operating out of there as well.
And what's really cool for the soccer players, they don't have to drive to Seacoast. It's right here in Concord.
Correct.
I know that used to be a little bit of a lament for
correct
for certain parents. So let's I know that you have sent over 700 players to England over the past 4 years, but before we get into that, talk a little bit about the other sports. I mean, I grew up playing baseball, so that's one of my first loves, and I know that it can wax and wane in terms of interest for student athletes who might be more turned on by the activity of lacrosse as opposed to, you know, standing in right field or whatever in Little League and things like that. But those of us that are into baseball know that when played right and with the right passion, it is actually an awesome sport, and it's been around literally since the 1800s, so I don't see it going away. So how have you been able to invoke the passion the same way you have the passion for soccer? So have you gotten some great baseball coaches? How does that work?
So it's funny you mentioned that, because my only ever experience with baseball was T-ball. I was 5 years old, sat in the outfield for 2 hours, bored out of my mind, walked off, told my dad.
That's it.
And so I started playing soccer. Yeah. So, you know, I hear that a lot, you know, with regards to baseball, that people say it's a dinosaur sport, you know, the participation rates, et cetera. So, you know, obviously with us doing baseball, me living in New England now, I probably watched more baseball last year with the Red Sox than I probably ever did in my entire life. So I'm sipping the Kool-Aid.
Jumped on that bandwagon, right?
sipping the Kool-Aid. So, you know, what I think we've done a really good job of with baseball, and again, that word opportunity, we have a very dynamic young group of guys that have fully embraced what we do with soccer. And what I mean by that is, you know, an emphasis on development, making everything dynamic as opposed to static. You know, that's the cliche, the hardened cliche, that you go to a baseball training session and it's two kids in a line for an hour and they're throwing a ball back and forth. And it's like, well, I'd rather watch paint dry. So how do you keep kids engaged when you have the lacrosses of this world where they're moving around, they're constantly active? So the baseball guys are second to none. They've incorporated what we do on the soccer side of things, again, with an emphasis on development, teaching these kids the fundamentals through the use of games. And again, it's just kind of thinking outside the box, because when everyone's like, well, this is what we've done for years, and that's how it goes. It's like, okay, well, think about that for a second. Obviously, that's not good for the sport. The numbers obviously are a testament to that. This is where you kind of need to think outside the box and adapt and modernize. And I think the program's a testament to what we've done.
No, it's great to hear. I mean, there's a whole new set of young new general managers at Major League Baseball that are using metrics and, you know, these training techniques. And you're right, it's all about the coaching, because the worst thing you can do is, and I was really into it, but batting practice was horrible, because you'd be sitting around and maybe once every 15 minutes you'd get a ground ball or fly ball,
right?
And there were 15 people that had to hit. And I know there are, even when I was 8 years old, I knew there were better ways of doing that. Really happy to hear that baseball's been added to your sort of portfolio. So I really appreciate that. Tell us how you've managed to send over 700 players to England over the past 4 years, and I know you have part of that is due to your partnership, you know, with Nike. But tell us more about that.
You know, if you look at our ownership group, so Paul, he's the president. Ian Burgess, he's the vice president and COO, and Dave Burgess, who's the director of operations. They're all from England, and out of our 60 full time staff, I'd say half of them are from the UK, whether it's Scotland, England, Wales, Ireland, etc. So there's a strong representation of different cultures, if you will. So I think that's something that we fully embrace. Obviously, I lived in another country for 3 years, so I'm a big proponent of doing it, mainly because it makes you appreciate what you had back home.
Sure.
We've always done trips to England, you know, pretty much since the club was founded. And then what had happened was we've been with Nike for 22 years as an organization, and we have very good ties with Nike over in the UK, and they were working with a group called Sports Tours Europe, who actually used to do all the soccer camps for Manchester United, which is arguably the biggest football club in the world. And when Manchester United became an Adidas club, Sports Tours Europe kind of disbanded, and Nike said, well, hold on a sec, you guys are really good at what you do, why don't you just do it yourself? So through that, we were able to kind of get in on the, on, you know, at the ground floor, if you will. And Nike connected us with them and said, listen, we'd like you to try to maybe trial this with some of your teams and take them over to England. And primarily with Brighton and Hove Albion, which is a football club at the time, they were in the league below the Premier League. So that was in 2015. We sent about 60 kids. And then in 2016, we sent another group. And then it just kind of took off. So over the space of 4 years, we've sent over 700 kids to England. And since you're a baseball guy, believe it or not, we actually sent a group over to Holland in 2017 because apparently baseball is massive in Holland.
Yeah, it's huge. The Red Sox used to have a pitcher that grew up in Holland. So that was an
unbelievable opportunity for them. Wow. And they even when they came back, they stopped in London for 2 days and watched a cricket match.
So if you're interested in more information, it's seacoastunitedalloneword.com. You also have something called the Seacoast United Academy. Tell us what that is.
Yeah, so we are a member of the U.S. Development Academy, which is essentially ran by the U.S. Soccer Federation. So if you think the men's and women's national teams that participate in the World Cup, that is the U.S. Soccer Federation, and they have a academy, so the U.S. Development Academy. So I believe it was introduced in 2007, and on the boys' side, Seacoast United was actually one of the founding members. And I think, again, that was kind of brought that happened because of our relationship with Nike. And then last year, so about 2 years ago, they started doing the academy for girls. And then last year in May, we were granted status for this coming year to become an affiliate for the girls program. So technically, we're the only club in Northern New England that has both boys and girls. And in a roundabout way, that is the highest level of youth soccer that is available. I'm also of the mindset that it's a bit like alphabet soup. They talk about NEP, NHSL, NCNL, etc. So it's just working itself trying to navigate all that. But yeah, so we're involved with that. We have, I believe, five boys teams that primarily are train and play out of Epping, New Hampshire. And then we have four girls teams, and they essentially will participate and play and compete against teams all across the Northeast and then at national events as well.
So if that's something of interest, just go on seacoastunited.com. You have obviously there's the high school league, and people have to be careful to know that if you do make the Seacoast United Academy, not because of Seacoast rules, but because of U.S. rules, the student athlete wouldn't be able to play in the high school team.
Just for the Development Academy team, so the DA team.
The DA.
But we offer our premier teams, our select teams, our MPL teams. They're not mandated by U.S. soccer, so there's no stipulations about
Perfect.
Playing for the for your high school or anything to that extent. It's just with the U.S. Development Academy, it's a different animal.
Gotcha. So that's great explanation, and all that information you can find on seacoastunited.com. And it's just really great to see the development into other sports, and then, as you said, leveraging all of the resources that Seacoast United has. So, like, the folks at, you know, what was formerly known as Concord Express can focus on coaching. It reminds me of my industry where there are these things called DSOs, or dental service operations, where basically it becomes the backroom operation for dentists, so that dentists could actually just do their practice and not worrying about HR and all the filings. So I think you got the whole picture, and we're blessed that you've expanded into other sports, but still, obviously, to the extent if a mom or dad out there feels they have a talented and gifted child on soccer, obviously you want to go to seacoastunited.com. So, James, thank you for sharing all this information today. I know I've learned a lot.
Thank you very much.
Tom Raffio, return next week and with more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio.